This morning, let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's the text that we've been looking at. It started last week. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. There's a woman that came to D.L. Moody and was criticizing D.L. Moody for his method of evangelism and attempting to win people to the Lord. And D.L. Moody listened to the lady that came, and Moody replied and told the lady, you know, I agree with you. I do think that there are probably better ways to evangelize and better ways to win people to the Lord. And then he continued and said, could you share with me your way of evangelizing, and maybe that would help me. The lady said, well, I don't do it. And Moody looked at the lady and said, well, I kind of prefer the way I'm doing it than the way you're not doing it. And this morning, we're going to look at an idea of that is criticized as far as Christianity, and it is our faith. There are many people that ridicule our faith. There are many people that deny the faith. There are many people that scoff at the Word of God because the Bible says in the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So in essence, by attacking the Word of God, which we believe in, they're attacking our faith because it is where we base our faith off of. And as Moody has told that lady, I tell our scoffers, I prefer my faith in the Word of God than their faith in themselves, because I prefer trusting in God. In our text here, 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5. Starting in verse 5, we read this last week. We want to read it again. And beside this, 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. And remember last week, we talked about kind of as an intro that we're supposed to be adding to our faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. What are we supposed to add? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And then notice verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer then is that we're adding to our faith. Now, as I was working on some topics and praying through what God would have us to look at as far as adding to our faith, God said, well, first of all, what do we have to have? It says, add to your faith. So the first thing that we must have as a believer, if you're not a believer here this morning, then our prayer is that you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because that is what we must have. And then once we have that faith, we must build upon it. Have you ever gotten one of those items that said, just add water? I was thinking about that this week because it says add to your faith. I looked up a couple of them, and I thought this was interesting. Did you know that you can buy a grow-your-own girlfriend? I thought some of the college guys, I'm thinking about that. Maybe some of you're just lonely. You know, you could grow your own friend. You just throw them into that tub of water, and poof, all right, there they are. I saw one that you can grow your own hair. I was thinking, Eric Ramis, there's some of you, Pastor Vogelin, we'll probably buy that product, and you just, you know, it's like a chia pet, I guess. You know, have you ever seen a chia pet? But growing our own hair. Well, here in this passage, it's telling us to add to our faith, to grow some things. In Hebrews, then let's turn to our text, our text passage for this morning, and that is in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we know the book of Hebrews, it's not complex. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrew people. It's written to Jewish people. And if we go back before Hebrews chapter 11, what we will find is some reasons why Hebrews chapter 11 was put together for us. Why I believe it was Paul. There's a lot of debate on who wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe it was Paul. You can believe Priscilla and Aquila, I guess. Some believe Clement. It could have been, who knows, all right? But I like Paul, all right? But in chapter 10 and verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Look at verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith." We look back to Martin Luther. That was a famous phrase that he had. But it says, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Look at, now let's go into verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Well, what's it? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Here right away in this passage, it is instructed to us that it is by faith that we even believe in creation. It is by faith. Now the evolutionists say that it is not by faith that they believe in evolution, which is a whole bunch of malarkey using that guy. What is it? Heaven is for Real? You guys read the article on Heaven is for Real, right? Heaven is for Real. Did you know the kid acting in that, his name was Malarkey, all right? And he came out and said that the whole thing was a bunch of malarkey. All right, he just made up that Heaven is for Real. But talking about faith here, all right, it is by faith that we believe that God created the world. It is faith. And even now, even this week, the evolutionists came out and they were debating, and now they are saying that it could be possible that the age of the world is eternal. Now that almost sounds biblical. There was someone that was eternal, and that was God. All right, God is eternal. All right, and he's infinite. And even this morning, I was looking at Genesis chapter 1, and people, sometimes evolutionists will say, well, it's just hard for me to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine that everything started just 6,000 years ago. You believe in a young earth, and it's so recent. It's so hard. Well, if you study and you understand the Bible, there was no time. God invented it. Now, it's hard for me to understand that. It's hard for me to imagine no time. But before creation, there was no time. God said, in the beginning, he started time. He started time. So before that, I don't know what, because they say, well, what did God do? Well, I don't know. I don't know what God did, but there was no time. We have to have time. Why? Because we are finite beings. Because we have little tiny brains. And because we have little tiny brains and we cannot understand everything, God had to make time so that we could understand things. And I have no problem believing in a God that is bigger than you or I. And that's what faith can do. Faith, and it's interesting, in the New Testament, faith, the word faith is used over 220 times. All right, over 220 times, and in Hebrews chapter 11 alone, the word faith is used 24 times. One out of every 10 times that the word faith is used in the New Testament, it is used in the book of, in Hebrews chapter 11. So we can come to Hebrews chapter 11 then and say, what is faith? Can I understand? What is faith? And that is then what is the foundation that I'm supposed to be building knowledge and brotherly kindness and temperance and patience. That is the things I'm supposed to be adding to my faith, because faith is foundational. Let's ask the Lord then to help us as we speak this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we can come to an unchanging Word of God, an unchanging God, and we can learn to have faith in you. We would ask that you would strengthen our faith this morning. And Lord, that as we then develop faith properly, that we could add to our faith. Lord, as always, do what I can't, speak to hearts. Convict hearts. Change us. Lord, if there is an unsaved person here, I pray that the gospel would be clear so that they could trust and have faith in you. Not in us, not in our church, but in Christ. Lord, we claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the first, we're going to just look at two simple things here this morning. First, what faith is. And then, secondly, what faith does. And there's a lot of things that you can look in Hebrews chapter 11 as far as what faith does. But hopefully we can take it and just draw a few conclusions then and say practically this is what faith does. But what is faith? Now, in verse 1, this isn't necessarily a definition of faith. I think it's more of a description of what faith is. Because it's faith here, it says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have two distinct phrases that will help us in describing what faith is. So what is the first phrase? The first phrase is, faith is a substance. Now, if you're like me, as I'm coming up to the Bible and I'm saying, okay, that's what faith is. That didn't help me a lot. Like, faith is a substance. Now bank on it. But you're sitting there saying, that didn't really strengthen me right there. Because what does faith being a substance mean? Well, I went and looked at a couple of passages. And actually, in the book of Hebrews, the same word is used in Hebrews chapter 3. So let's look there. In Hebrews chapter 3, and I think this will help you understand what that word substance means. It actually is found in chapter 1 in verse 3. And some of you make it more confusing, but the same word substance in chapter 1 in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That word person actually is the same Greek word for substance. Chapter 3 and verse 14, I think this helps us. 3 and verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, that's the same word. If we hold the beginning of our substance steadfast unto the end. That word confidence is the same word substance translated, okay, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So here's the root word, and in understanding and defining the Word of God, that's what helps us understand. We get a dictionary. Remember, Dr. Cloud was talking about that on Thursday. One of the most important things you can do is to get a dictionary and start understanding what the words mean. And so what does the word substance mean? It means confidence. Confidence. Now, what is confidence? It means to, the root word means to support, to stand underneath, to support something underneath. So what is the Bible telling you and I? That faith gives you confidence. Faith is confidence. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. And what is our confidence? Is our confidence in ourselves? No, because we can interpret the Bible by the Bible. We define the Bible by the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what can I have confidence in? What can support my faith? The Word of God. So the more you get into the Bible, the more you study the Bible, the more you're strengthened in the Word of God, the stronger your faith is. And the farther you get away from the Word of God, the weaker your faith will be. And so some of you, this Sunday morning, you picked up your Bible, dusted it off, and you walked into church, and you spent more time on MTV. You spent more time in worldliness. You spent more time in your newspaper, more time watching the sports programs than you did in the Word of God, and you wonder why you're weak. Your faith is weak because you are not in the Word of God. The Word of God will give you confidence. And confidence in what? It'll make you confident in living the Christian life. Confident in knowing what you're supposed to do. Confident in doing the things that you're supposed to do. You see, the Word of God gives me confidence. It builds my faith. Another thing that this word indicates, if you look back in history, it actually, they looked it up, and this word was used way back by Aristotle, this word confidence. And they studied this word, and there's an interesting word that is tied to this. The word is title deed. Title deed. Now, you and I may understand that today. I understand that because I do not own the title deed to my house. You know why? I have a mortgage. So guess who has the title deed? The bank. And when I burn my mortgage someday, then I will get a title deed. And that title deed, now somebody may come and say, hey, you don't own that house. I may be far away. I may be over in Israel. I may be on some other continent. And someone would say, you don't own that piece of property. I could pull that out and say, no, I have the title deed. I have confidence. Why? Because I have that. And I think, in essence, faith, the Bible says, is a title deed. It's a title deed. I think the title deed comes through understanding the Word of God. Because I think by having this title deed, and I think in some ways this is my title deed. I think that by understanding the Word of God and holding the Word of God, I can't see God. I may not know God and have sat down with Him personally, but I have a title deed. I have faith. I have confidence that God is real. And you can have that. Let me give you an illustration from Hudson Taylor's life. Hudson Taylor was a famous missionary. He started works in China. And Hudson Taylor was in a sailing vessel one time. And he was going to a certain place, and he came very close to some islands. And on the islands, there was cannibals. Now, if you don't know what cannibals are, they eat people, right? And especially, I think they like white missionaries, salted, peppered, roasted slightly. And so some of the guys on the boat were getting a little nervous because as they were moored off of shore, something happened where they could not. Oh, I know, the wind had died down, and there was a sailing vessel, and so they were moored right near this island of cannibals, and there was no wind. And they were getting closer and closer to shore. And the cannibals on the island were building bigger and bigger fires, waving to them. All right, they were sharpening their forks and knives. All right, they were getting all kinds of spice racks out. All right, laying it out there. And the guys on the ship, they were not very happy about this. They found out they knew that Hudson Taylor was a Christian. The captain came to Mr. Taylor and said, hey, would you please pray for wind? Taylor looked at the captain and said, I will, provided you set your sails to catch the breeze. The captain himself, he just laughed and said, you know what? I don't think I should do that. And Taylor said, I will not undertake to pray unless you prepare the sails to catch the breeze. So the captain laughed. He went off. He said, all right, I'll do it. Taylor went down and he started praying. While he was engaged in prayer, there was a knock on the door and it was the captain. The captain said, "Hey, are you still praying for wind?" And Hudson Taylor said, "Yes." And the captain said, "Could you stop? We have more wind than we can manage." Now, what was it? Taylor had confidence in the prayer so much that he said, "Set your sails. The wind's coming." How did he know it? Because he had confidence. He had support. He had that. And that's what faith, a description of faith, one of the descriptions in our text is that you can have confidence. Faith is confidence. It's support. The second thing that faith is here in our text is the second phrase. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me get there again. Hebrews chapter 11. The first phrase is faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look at the second phrase. It is the evidence of things not seen. So what is the word evidence of things not seen? Well, I wanted to look up that word, and there was another place that this word is used. It's found, the only other place in the New Testament where this word is used is in 2 Timothy 3:16. So let's turn there. 2 Timothy 3:16. Most of us know this verse. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." And here's the word, "for reproof." For reproof. That's the same word as evidence. The same word. So what is this idea of reproof? It means proof. It means proving. It means evidence. It's convincing another person of error, convincing someone, in this case, and you're reproving somebody, you're convincing them of their wrong way, of their guilt, of sin. So in Hebrews chapter 11, when it says that faith is substance, it's confidence, faith is also what? Evidence. It is a proof. It is another word, if you reprove somebody and they are found guilty, they are convicted. It is conviction. So what is faith? One is a description of faith. One is confidence. The other one is conviction. You know what faith will give you? Conviction. Conviction. It'll give you something to stand upon. It'll give you something to bank on. Faith is what God wants us to build upon. And faith is both confidence and it's conviction. I'll give you another illustration of this since we're talking about ships. There is another illustration from the 1800s. Maybe 1800s. I can't remember. I think it was 1800s. George Mueller. George Mueller lived in Bristol, England, and George Mueller went to the captain of a ship that he was traveling on, and he went to this captain and said, "I'd been," and as the captain tells it, he says, "You know," he was on the bridge of the ship, and he was talking to him, and he said, "Captain, I've come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." And the captain looked at George Mueller and said, "That's impossible." And the reason is that he knew where he was. He was very close to Bristol, and he knew where Quebec was, and he knew that the time, it was not going to allow it because of the winds. And the captain says, "That's impossible." And George Mueller looked at the man and said, "Very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. Let's go into the chart room and pray." He looked at the captain, describes it, and says he looked at George Mueller like he was a lunatic, that he belonged in an asylum. And he said, do you know how dense the fog is? And Mueller looked at him and said, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of life. He knelt down and prayed, and the captain says it was one of the simplest prayers he had ever heard. When he was finished, the captain said that he was going to start to pray. George Mueller laid his hand on the captain and says, you don't have to pray. He says, you don't believe my God will answer anyways. And I believe he is, and I believe he actually already has. There's no need for you to pray when you don't even believe. The captain said that he got up. And George Mueller said that I've known my God for 57 years, and there's never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king. And he looked at the captain and said, if you don't mind, you can go outside. I believe the fog has lifted. The captain went outside, and the fog had lifted. And George Mueller was in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. Now, why could he have that? Because by faith, his faith had conviction. Now, I'm not saying some of you right now, you're going to say, oh, wait a minute, you're going into the power of positive thinking, and right now I'm kneeling down, and Lord, give me $1 million. And you know, you can check in your bank account, and right now, it's there. Now, I'm not saying that's true. Some of you, God is not Santa Claus. All right, I actually, over Christmas, I was skiing with Santa Claus. He was on the ski slopes with me. And I was riding up the ski slope with him, and it was on Christmas Eve. And so he wished me a Merry Christmas. I gave him a hug, and we just had a wonderful time there, Santa Claus and myself. And I looked at him. I said, hey. I said, now, did you get my list? And he was like, oh, no. And he started laughing. I said, whoa, there's still time. I said, actually, I got my app on my phone, and if you just want to go ahead, I did ask you for $1 million in my bank account. And he just started laughing. Just laughing. So I threw him off the lift. And I just fell to his right because he was a fraud, fake, and threw my ski pole through him. All right? Because I wanted the other children to understand that he was a fake. But God is not a Santa Claus. All right, Santa Claus or somebody that we just say, oh, I wish this would happen. That's not what we're talking about here. Faith is confidence. It's conviction. And the conviction is that what God says he will do, he will do it. So let me stop here for a second, and this is where we can apply it to salvation. Because God says, if I call upon the name of the Lord, guess what's going to happen? Thou shalt be saved. Now, there's a lot of people that say, that's not possible. They'll say, you got to do some work. You got to go to church this many times. You've got to do this amount of works. You got to give this amount to the church. You got to do all these things. That is not found in the Bible. But God says, you believe in Jesus Christ and you can be saved. And you can be saved now. It's not a list. The church, religions, add all these lists to what should be required of salvation. But this is the conviction that you can have. This is the assurance that you can have. You trust in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, that he took your sin on his shoulders. The conviction, the confidence that you can have is that if you bow your knee to Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's how confident you can be. That's the convincing argument you can have. So we see what faith is and kind of a description. So quickly then, let's look at a couple of things of what faith does. And that's found in our text. And we have three examples that we're just going to look at quickly. Three examples in our text of what faith does. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You see Abel, the next verse, you see Enoch, and then in verse 7, you see Noah. So we're taking this three examples here of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And what does faith do? Faith, in Abel's case, made him worship God in the right way. And this again goes to salvation, and this goes into our service for the Lord. Both things. In the area of salvation, what is Abel doing? He is following God's way. Cain came, and he brought of his own good works. He brought of his own good deeds. But that is not the way that God said to do it. God said it must be a lamb, and the blood must be spilt. And you say, that is ugly. That is not a good picture, but you're not God. That's the problem. You want to be God, and man wants to become God, and he wants to set his own restrictions on salvation. Then you trust yourself for salvation, and I can tell you where it's going to end up. It's going to end up in this life with misery. It's going to end up in this life with a lot of heartache. But that's not where it stops. It ends up in the next life with eternal damnation, a place called hell. And how, you say, how in the world can you believe it? By faith, I have the confidence and the conviction to believe in it because God says there is a hell. That's where I base it on. And so by faith, what did Abel do? Abel said, you know what, Cain, I would like to go out and I'd like to work in the fields and I'd like to bring this. This seems a lot more, to make a lot more sense. I mean, I could take this food after I give it to God and I could feed the poor. I mean, God surely would like this, but that's not what God's plan was. And so Abel came and he worshiped God in God's way. And this is what you got to understand also, not just with salvation, but as you come to serve God, you serve and worship God in his manner. That's why we don't have a rock band up here. We don't have a rock band up here. Why? Because that does not honor God and worship God in his way. God is holy. I'm not going to have sin in our church. That doesn't honor God. But some people say, man, you know what? We're just trying to reach them. We're trying to bring them in. And so we sin to bring somebody in? No, we worship God his way. We follow his guidelines. And so Abel shows us what faith does. What does faith do? Faith worships God in his way. Look at Enoch then in our passage. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What did Enoch do? Abel worshiped God in God's way. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. And what will faith make you do? Faith will make it to where you have this testimony. Is it your testimony? Can somebody say, can they look at your life and say, your life pleases God? Did you notice what it said in our text? He had this testimony that he pleased God. Who are you pleasing today? Who did you please this week? Is it self? Is self on the throne of your life? And there, when anybody sees your life, they say, I know who he serves. He serves, you've heard it, he serves himself. Well, Enoch, even though, and I'm sure, and this is what you got to understand, Enoch lived before the flood. If you read in Genesis 4 and 5 and 6, what you will find is that Enoch lived during a wicked time. In fact, it is said in the Bible that the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. So you think you got it tough, don't you? Well, so did Enoch. But Enoch, by faith, walked with God. And so you may say, you don't know my plight. You don't know how hard it is. Jump in Enoch's shoes. Jump in his shoes. And what you'll find is Enoch had it pretty rough too. Enoch, he was there and they were wicked all around him. But what did he do? He walked with God. Why? Because he had conviction and he had confidence in the God that he loved. And his testimony was that he walked with God. It's God's way. God's way is for us to worship God. God's way is for us to walk with God. But notice in Noah's life, what did Noah do? And I think this is where some of us stop. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So what is God's way of faith? We know what it is. It's confidence. It's conviction. But as I get that confidence and I get that conviction, it'll make me worship God properly. And so I come to God the way he wants. I walk with him in spite of what everybody else is doing. And like Noah, I work for him. I work for God. He prepared. He couldn't get too many people. He could only get his house according to this passage. And in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, that's all he could get. But then that's all he was going to do then. Do you think it was easy for Noah building an ark? You've read the stats, right? It was over 450 feet long. Raised out there, 450 feet long and pounding on it. Every tree that he chopped down was by faith. Every board that he sawed was by faith. And for over a hundred years, he prepared an ark and he worked for God. When they never had seen rain, when they had never seen that thing called rain, that precipitation, that probably wasn't a word. It probably didn't exist. I doubt that they looked out there and they said, well, the barometer today says, what barometer? They never seen it before. And for over 100 years, he's there by faith, chopping down trees, putting his workhorses out there, and with his sons, he's sawing things, he's putting up the boards, he's nailing them together. All right, he gets out his DeWalt screw guns and he's screwing things in there and he's pitching it inside and out. And what do you think everybody is saying? What are you doing, Noah? I'm working for God. Well, it seems kind of silly, Noah. Man, look at your sons. It's a whole lot of wasted work. Some of you this morning, you're tired. You know why? It's daylight savings time. And we all lost an hour of sleep. But you know, the average person out there didn't lose anything. Because they're not at church. They just skip church. Ah, forget it. It's not important. That's why, you know what? Daylight savings time, the best time to do it is Saturday night. Why? Well, you know what? We'll never miss it. You and I did. We missed it. Why? Because we want to be in the house of God. Why? Because we work for God. And they say, why do you go to church? What do you get out of it? Why do you go out there and witness? Where are the results? Why are you training your children? Where are the results? Have faith, conviction, confidence. And we work for God. Why? Because it is His work. It is His children. It's His church. It's His gospel. And because of that, we don't quit, even though they scoff and they mock and they say, see, every time somebody maybe gets saved and you've been on the bus route, you've been in the nursing homes, you've been in the ministries, and somebody gets saved or somebody grows or maybe someone's in the church and they forget it and they say, forget God. And the devil, he comes and he says to you, see, it's not worth working. It doesn't work. Don't you think Noah had the same whispers in his ear? Sometimes we don't put the Bible into our context. And Noah lived in our context. He lived in a wicked world. He lived in a vile world. He lived where nobody wanted to follow God. But Noah worked for God in spite of it. Why? Because he had faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Do you have faith? Do you have faith this morning? Is your faith weak? Then I tell you, get back to the substance. Get back to the evidence. Get back to the Word of God. The Word of God will strengthen your faith. And then as your faith gets strong, the Bible then instructs us, add to it. Build on it. Don't let it lay dormant. Don't let it sit there and become rusty in a pile of rotten wood. No, put that foundation of faith down and then build something glorious for God. Because that's what God wants. He wants a structure. He wants a person. He wants an Abel. He wants an Enoch. He wants a Noah. And he can look up to and he can lift up in the face of those that mock. And look at Enoch. Hey, he pleased me. Hey, look at Abel. Hey, Cain. Abel did that which was right. He lost his life. Did he? I think he's living eternally with God. I really do. So who lost their life? I think Cain did. And so we have Enoch and we have Abel and we have Noah. And what do they teach you and I? They teach us that a life of faith, it will breed fruit. It will bring forth fruit that remains. We add to our faith and God will bless. A minister, he tells how he was the first church that he took. There was a banker that occasionally came to his church. And every time that he came to the church, the pastor happened to be preaching on faith. Every time. Now, the banker didn't come regularly. It just so happened that every time that the banker came, that the pastor was preaching on faith. The banker one time caught the pastor and he said, "You know what, why don't you preach on something other than faith? You know, why don't you preach on something practical?" Well, it was a few days later, and there was a run on the bank. The minister, the pastor, went down to see what was going on, and he found all kinds of people demanding their money. They were alarmed. They were suspicious. The banker was going up and down the lines, and he was trying to tell them, "Hey, it's okay. It's all right. You guys don't have to pull all the money out. There's nothing wrong with the bank." The pastor touched the banker's shoulder and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "There's nothing wrong." But then he says, "All these people have lost faith in the bank." And the pastor said, "Man, I don't know why they don't rely on something more practical." The banker looked at him and said, "You know what? There is nothing more practical than faith." And there isn't. There's nothing more practical in your life than your trust in God. So as we close, let me challenge you that maybe came in and you're unsaved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace are you saved," and guess what it says? "Through faith. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast." It's the gift of God. It's through faith. Now you know that it's not just some blind, wavering notion of feelings that comes and goes. If that's what you're expecting when you trust in Jesus Christ, that's not what you get, because my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. Oh, it's in the ever-living, loving one. It is in Jesus Christ that we trust. Jesus Christ can be your resting place for your faith. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have to blindly trust Him. No, you can be confident and convicted and know that Jesus, according to His Word, says, by faith, you can trust Him. And when you trust in Him, it is God that holds you in His hand. It is not us. It is not our church. It is not some religion. It is God Himself that guarantees, is the title deed. He will give you that title deed and you can bank on it. You will be saved. What is your faith like? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. One man put it this way, increase our faith so we may see what you're doing in our lives. And all that we'll accomplish in you so our faith begins to rise. Lord, we need to be reminded of the small mustard seed and how the same amount of faith moves mountains if we believe. We must go beyond the limits of our comfort zones. Our faith is activated at those times when we walk into the unknown. It's when the safety net is gone, we realize we need our Lord. When there's nothing left to fall back on, we must lean on God much more. And faith is released in our hearts as we bend our knee to pray. We'll be strengthened as we walk when we commit to Him each day. God, increase our faith. This morning, you may have come in and you say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says that you must trust Him by faith. This morning, you say, God convicted me in this area. I was trusting in my own self. I was trusting in just coming to church today. I was trusting in something else. But now I understand I was not trusting in Jesus Christ and His finished work. It's by faith. By faith. This morning you'd say, God convicted me in this area of salvation. Would you slip up your hand? I won't embarrass you. Is there anybody like that? You'd say, I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. God convicted me this morning in the area of salvation. Is there anybody like that? Say, God convicted me. All right. What about us Christians? God says, add to your faith. Is your faith weak? Is it small? Remember, Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, O ye of little what? Faith. Is He saying that to you this morning? Has He whispered it into your ear? Has He whispered it to your heart? The Holy Spirit convicted you and your faith is small. It's weak. And now you understand. You understand, maybe you've been trusting in something else. You haven't been going to the Word of God. You don't have the confidence in it. Why? Because you've been trusting in everything else. You can rest assured, you get close to God, your faith will be strengthened. What is your faith like? You saw Abel, you saw Enoch, you saw Noah. Are they representatives in your life? Can you match up? God, convict us and teach us to have more faith. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Bless the imitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. If God dealt with your heart as the piano and organ play, if you need someone to talk to, there's men down here. If you just need the altar and you need to spend time at the altar, God convicted you, then you come.